This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into episode 154 of the Skate Podcast. I'm Brian DeFelice, joined by Bridget Prue and Scott McLaughlin. Wednesday and Thursday, the Bruins defeated the Islanders and Rangers, respectively, in a back-to-back 4-1 and 3-1. So obviously, outscoring them 7-2 in the process. Both teams, Islanders and Rangers, presented different challenges to the Bruins, two different styles of play. But on a back-to-back, the Bruins just... What else is new? A very, very impressive showing the last two nights by this team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think anytime in the NHL you have back-to-backs, you always wonder about that second night. In this case, obviously, very little travel. They just have to hop on train or bus or whatever, go from the Islanders arena to Manhattan. But still, against a Rangers team that's been playing well, going up against Igor Shesterkin, big game for Swayman. You know, I feel like a lot of these back-to-back this year, they've kind of saved Ullmark for the second night of it. This time Swayman gets it and plays really well, nearly has a shutout. Rangers score late. But yeah, you know, again, like Islanders game, Bruins certainly didn't play their best for full 60 minutes. I thought... You know, Rangers game better, still had stretches where they weren't at their best, but just able to kind of take control when it matters, and obviously got great goaltending both nights. I thought the defense was really good against the Rangers, especially after Carlo went down and on his first shift of the second period, which I know we're going to get into that a little bit more, but the other five defensemen stepped up and, you know, and they're able to come away with the win.
Yeah, and two goals from defensemen in the Islanders game too. So like adding offense, Clifton had a goal against the Rangers as well, set up by Marchand. But the defense showed that it can do pretty much anything in this back-to-back. Like they had stretches where they were great on the penalty kill, stepping into the offense, you know, moving pucks on the power play and scoring. So it was nice to see Forbert, aka Scorbert, score again against the Islanders, and also another goal for Pavel Zacha. So another two goals for Pavel Zacha, one in the Islanders game, one in the Rangers game, right? So he's continued to be on a tear. Second line has looked good. And just, I think maybe the biggest takeaway is if we want to go into the Carlo injury, like off the top, because just lineup implications, like you have DeBrusk down. And if Carlo has to be out for a stretch of time, you're missing two guys that are important at this point. And we're just kind of the whole season, we're waiting for the shoe to drop on a stretch where there were multiple injuries and people out, besides when, McAvoy and Marchand and Grzelcyk in the beginning of the season, which we already knew were going to be out with their surgeries. So what do you guys think? Obviously blocks a shot, looked like it hit him in the foot. Couldn't tell if it was like instep or shoelaces. Comes off the ice, needs help walking down, which by the way, they didn't have a tunnel, really weird situation where the way that he had to walk off behind the glass. And what did you guys think of the injury? What'd you see on it? And also what is the solution for the Bruins if he's going to miss time?
Scott, you want to take this one?
Yeah. Well, you know, so obviously didn't return to the game. I think if there's any reason to be slightly encouraged, it's that the Bruins did not immediately rule him out. when they finally issued the injury update during the second intermission, it was that he was unlikely to return, and obviously he didn't. But, you know, usually if they know a guy's out, they just say he's out. So, you know, that would at least lead you to believe that maybe it's not too serious, because, you know, they didn't definitively rule him out. But he was clearly pretty hobbled, and, you know, I'm sure in a good amount of pain. That was a hard shot by Zibanejad, and, you know, he finished out the shift. It was on the penalty kill, so he didn't really have an option. But yeah, that was it for him for the night. It's, you know, Bridget, you mentioned, like, obviously that they had a ton of injuries early on this season, and, you know, they've had 10 defensemen play in a game this season, but they haven't had any injuries in the blue line since Forbert returned from his broken hand. And that was like the end of November. They've basically gone 2 months with just the same six defensemen. The only minutes from any other defenseman in the last 2 months were the one game that they went 11 forward 7D and Jacob Zboril played about 6 minutes. Like, that's it. You know, that's the only time you've seen Zboril, and he's been with the team practicing. Obviously Mike Riley's been in Providence. He played, you know, I think 10 games earlier in the season. Anton Strahlman played some, but he's been in limbo, basically. Like, they technically, you know, waived him and sent him to Providence, but he never actually reported until, oddly enough, today. Friend of the pod, Mark Diver, tweeted that he was practicing with Providence today and was potentially an option to play a game with Providence at some point soon. So now, okay, obviously he's doing at least something to ramp up towards game action. So, you know, you would have to assume that if Carlo does miss any time, Zboril would be the next guy up. Montgomery has had good things to say about Zboril, and, you know, said, like, he's practicing well. He liked the way he played in the 6 minutes in that one game 2 weeks ago, and said, you know, he really doesn't deserve to sit this long, but, like, who are you going to bench from their defense? So, you know, now we'll actually see how much he believes that. Like, now we'll actually see if that translates, because if Carlo does miss any time, presumably Zboril would be the one going in.
Yeah, and also to the Strahlman thing, like, obviously you would expect him to need some time in Providence now after being away from the ice so much. So, like, he's not going to come up right away, because presumably he's got to get back into, you know, the flow of things being away when all these other guys are mid-season form that he's going to be playing against. So, I would guess Zboril would be the first option there. And then Strahlman is just interesting to keep an eye on, because obviously he adds depth that the Bruins need in case somebody else goes down, or in case, you know, maybe Zboril doesn't play well. You want to have that defenseman as an option to call up. So it'd be really good for them if he does continue in Providence and doesn't, you know, just kind of call it quits on the season.
Huge sigh of relief that Carlo was not ruled out right away, obviously, like Scott mentioned. And so that makes me think, you know, obviously anything can happen overnight, but that's a big sigh of relief for the team. As far as Zboril goes, you know, I'm looking at his page on the Bruins website, and, you know, you're talking about a guy who's turning 26 years old about a month from now, actually, and drafted 7.5 years ago, 8 years ago this June. He's played 68 games for the Bruins. 68. Now, obviously, a lot of that was injury riddled, and that's why. But there's also been a large enough sample size without him on the injury block where he's just not cracking this Bruins lineup. And to take it a step further, 1 goal, 12 assists, 13 points in a Bruins uniform since being drafted in June of 2015. And I know it's not as black and white as I'm making it appear. I did, though, just mention that injuries are a big part of that. But I'm just looking at him, and I haven't been impressed with him this year outside of that one preseason game where that means nothing, really. I know one of you guys mentioned Montgomery said he hasn't deserved to be out this long. Fair enough. But he also never did anything really in his time on the ice this year, limited limited time, albeit, to really, I guess he's the next man up by default, right? But it's he hasn't shown much this year that makes me confident in him going forward as a part of this team. I wonder if I don't know what his contract status is at the moment. I should probably look that up before I make this next comment, but I wonder if he's somebody that another NHL team might look at and say, he's only 25 years old, turning 26. Maybe we can utilize this kid in a rebuild team and give him some more opportunity. I wonder if the Bruins look to move him. The only thing is, as like we're talking about right now, one guy goes down, who's next guy up? It's either Stromlin or Zboril. So you always need depth on defense, but I just don't know what Zboril's future in Boston is other than step up when someone goes down.
Yeah, I think for now that's all. It's just depth. And, you know, right at this very moment, he's the seventh defenseman. We'll, you know, to the point that we've been discussing, like, we'll see if that sticks. We'll see if, you know, if there's still a path for Stralman to elevate ahead of him, or if Riley's back at any point, or obviously trading for a defenseman is an option. And, you know, I think everyone's kind of identified, you know, getting another veteran defenseman as, you know, potentially the path that Don Sweeney goes leading up to the deadline. And I agree with that, but at the same time, I'm like, well, what do they think of Anton Stralman? Because like, he would be that guy. Like, he would be that veteran defenseman who you could plug in if he's like up to NHL level, which early on this year, it didn't really look like he was. We know he had the weird visa issue and he missed time. And, you know, he talked about how like he'd never been in a situation like this where he was, you know, a healthy scratch more often than not. And it took a while to adjust to that. And then he just gets outright waived because there's no more room for him once, you know, Grizzly and McAvoy come back and Forbert's back from his broken hand. There just wasn't a spot for him. So you wonder, it's like, okay, well, I highly doubt he's gotten better just skating on his own or, you know, scrimmaging over the last 2 months. Like, that's, you can work hard, and I'm sure he is, and you can stay in shape, but that is way off playing in NHL games. Like, that is, you know, that's going to be, to Bridges' point earlier, like, he probably does need time in the AHL at this point, because he has just gone so long, not just without playing in an NHL game, but without practicing against NHLers. Like, he can't practice with the Bruins because he's not on the active roster. So
yeah, and I thought that he looked a half a step behind even when he was playing, you know, more often. Like, he did seem a little bit slower than some of the guys he was having to defend against. And obviously age is a factor. He's older, he's playing against guys that are really skilled, young, in their early 20s. But it just seems like it will be kind of an uphill battle for him to get back where he needs to be in order to, you know, be the first guy that they call up. I still think Zboril is the one that they're going to look to here for if Carlo needs to miss time at all. Like, we're not really sure. He might be back, you know, one game, two games out. Hopefully that's the case, but it still brings up the conversation. And we talk about how deep the Bruins are. Yeah, when they're healthy, they've been able to keep, you know, one forward injury, you know, no defensive injuries for a while. So it's not something they've dealt with yet. And it's one of the things where we're going like, oh, the Bruins are on this tear and there's no slowing them down unless, and then we're hitting this point where they get a scare in that sense with Carlo. And Carlo's been playing well, and he's another guy that eats up a lot of PK time. And he's clearly a better option than Zboril. So you're taking someone out of the lineup that is the better option, someone that you want in your top six and to be out there every night. But we will keep a really close eye on him, what his status is. I don't believe Montgomery updated him after the game. He mentioned Carlo, but only in the sense to say that the other five defensemen stepped up when he left without issuing an update. As far as I know, Scott, I can tell, is Googling or going on Twitter, I should say, and checking if any of the local beat writers that traveled to New York, actually were able to get an update on that.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything as of when we're recording this, which is kind of, you know, shortly right after the game. So obviously Montgomery, you know, met with media there, but no one tweeted anything. I don't know if he was asked or not. So I guess we'll just have to wait until the Bruins post that audio or video.
I want to keep it to the defense real quick, guys, and I want to throw a question into your courts. Against the Islanders, Charlie McAvoy got his third goal of the season. It was his first goal. It's a loss in Florida, I believe, back in November. He's played 32 games this year, 3 goals, 24 assists for 27 points, and 27 points in 32 games for a guy who missed all of camp and didn't really have a full summer to skate and get ready for the season, along with what he does on, you know, defensively, it's great. But as the Bruins enter the second half of the year, obviously McAvoy is going to have to go from being what he's been right now to hopefully the Bruins think he's going to be, you know, a premier, one of the best defensemen in the world come playoff time, which he's capable of being. So I ask you guys, that as the Bruins get into the second half of the season here, and Charlie's got, 32 games under his belt now, what would you like to see him do even better going forward here to become or turn back into what he's capable of being and has shown in the past?
I feel like he gets that number one power play unit time, but like there's been times, especially in the Rangers game recently, just to name an example, where sometimes at the point he's not like necessarily acting like Charlie McAvoy on the power play. Like either he's not moving the puck the same way or he's not holding pucks in the same way. And I know these are minor critiques. He's Charlie McAvoy. He doesn't do it that often, but still noticeable because of how good he's been in the past. When he does do things like that, you're like, okay, well, maybe he's still a little bit off. And that's something he might need to work on. Cause you want to maintain possession, especially at the point on the power play. You don't want to, you know, give up that possession and have to take things back out of the zone.
Yeah. I also think 5-on-5, where I would say like over maybe the last week or two, we're finally starting to see him get more involved offensively, where he's getting down low more often and getting more involved in chances. And he's put up some points as a result. And, you know, I think that pairing with him and Grizzly, like they've been really solid defensively the entire time they've been together. Now you see, but when they've been at their best in the past, like they're very involved offensively, almost like at times it's just five interchangeable parts in the offensive zone. And you're starting to see that more. You saw, you know, a D to D connection on a goal against the Islanders between them. And you're starting to see both of them more involved there. And I feel like that's kind of a sign of McAvoy's confidence coming back, is that, you know, he is taking more chances and jumping up more. The other thing I think, you know, you might still want to see more of from him is just the physicality. Like, you know, I feel like we haven't seen as many of those, you know, big clean hits that we usually see from him. There's still been some, like, it's not like it's non-existent. But that they do feel like a little fewer and far, but further between than they have in the past. So those are two things that, like, I think you still want to see coming along, is just getting more involved offensively, taking more chances, because he generally makes good things happen when he's on his game and he does take those chances. And then more physicality and kind of helping to set the tone more that way.
And I really do think that it's almost there. Like, I feel like it's like you said, we saw it with Grzelcyk and McAvoy in this back-to-back, and it just feels like it's really close to being where it needs to be. It's just like, we're about to turn a corner here. If I was to guess, I'd say that it starts clicking soon here for them, but it does get complicated with, you know, maybe the need to mix pairs around if you have an injury on the back end. So
the nastiness that you alluded to, Scott, that physicality, that's kind of where my mind was going as well. I've definitely noticed the slow burn it's been for him with the offensive confidence on the at the top of the umbrella, like Bridget mentioned. But that level of nastiness, that physicality that Charlie has to his game is something that a lot of other elite defensemen don't have. Like you look at an Adam Fox, for example. I mean, Kale McCarr can certainly dish out the physicality a little bit too, but when McAvoy is at the peak of his game, he's bringing it on both ends of the puck, but also he has a little bit of nastiness, a little bit of peskiness that gets under the opponent's skin. Now, with that said, I'm not necessarily longing for that so far this year. I'm not saying he has to do it next game. I'm more so talking about as we build towards the latter half of the season and into the playoffs, where he needs to continue to get back to speed. And I think it's just a matter of not having a full off season. And I think there is some trepidation, right? When you have shoulder surgery in the off season, obviously you don't want to damage that again on an open ice hit, maybe in January. Maybe you kind of want to just make sure you're still revving back up, and you'll take that chance maybe in the first round of the playoffs, but maybe not on the second of a back-to-back in New York, you know?
I want to say too, it's not been like the Bruins haven't been lacking in that area, luckily, because I feel like Connor Clifton is a guy that comes through with some big hits when you need them. Where in the past it had been McAvoy. Now Clifton has been able to be that guy and do it cleanly. And he's also been able to step into the offense the way that we had seen a Grizzlick or a McAvoy step in the past. So even though McAvoy isn't quite at that level that he can be, it's been nice to see Grizzlick pick up, you know, some of those things that he's not been able to do as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just thinking too, like, I think it was last week I asked McAvoy after one of the games, just kind of like bigger picture, how he felt about where his game was. And, you know, and he said, like, you know, he feels like he's making progress. He's had to be patient, but he also said like, it was it's the biggest surgery he's ever had. And he said like, it was a completely new experience having to kind of come back, you know, almost a month into the season. And like everyone else has already been building their game for a month and getting up to speed for a month. And then you kind of just jump in and he was like, you know, that was different and it took a while to kind of catch up to everyone. I feel like that's even more noteworthy now that we're talking about the potential of Carlo, you know, possibly missing time, where it's, you know, again, these guys who just haven't played. And it's like any one of them, whether it's Zboril, who's been practicing but not playing, or Strahlman, who hasn't been doing either, or Riley, who's been playing but in the AHL, it's like any one of those guys, I bet it's not going to look very smooth when they get back in. Because, you know, it's awesome for the Bruins that they went 2 months with no injuries on the blue line and not having to change their lineup at all. But it also makes it tough now if you do have to change your lineup, like those guys are going to, you know, it's going to take a little bit for them to get back in. And again, they're guys who were like already, you know, I don't know if I like struggling or, you know, weren't really thriving when they were playing a little more earlier in the season. So, you know, I think whoever that sixth defenseman is, if Carlo misses time, is going to probably be pretty sheltered, at least to start.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's going to be an uphill battle for Zboril, Riley, or Strahlman, whoever it may be. Because when you're on the outside, it just becomes an even bigger hill to climb because you're missing those reps and because you're missing that time. So, and you already maybe feel down about the fact that you haven't been in. So it's mentally and physically, you know, kind of an uphill battle for you.